from the WSRQ studios, here's what's happening in Sarasota's emerging film and TV scene. It's time for Close Up with Sarasota County Film Commissioner Jeannie Corcoran.
Well, welcome. You're listening to WSRQ, the voice of Sarasota Manatee. And I'm Jeannie Corcoran, your Sarasota County Film Commissioner. And I bring wonderful people to talk to you on the radio from all walks of life in the fields of entertainment, from electronic media to novelists to all sorts of writers and producers and directors. It's a great privilege and a great pleasure for me to be able to do this and introduce you to these wonderful people I get to meet. And with me today, I have a fabulous couple, Sally and Joe Fernandez, and they have just an amazing background. They've known each other for many, many years. Sally is an authoress. Or I guess in the modern terminology, you're just an author, period. There's no feminization of that. And Joe is her editor, as well as her husband. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of her books and where they're headed. But we're also going to talk about them just as people, because this close-up show is all about being up close. So, Sally, welcome.
Thank you, Jeannie.
And Joe, thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting us.
Yes, Joe just had an amazing birthday. And Sally proved beyond a doubt that she could, if she ever decided not to be an author, be an event planner. So let's just start a little bit with the two of you, because I think you're just a charming couple and a wonderful pair of people, very creative, both of you. Sally, tell me about how this birthday party came to be, and a little bit for the listeners about the nature of the birthday party, because I don't think I've seen one like it in Sarasota yet.
Well, considering that we are in circus land.
True.
And our life is a three-ring circus. I thought, what better theme to have for my husband's 90th birthday?
90th now. That's 90. And if you saw this couple sitting across from me, you would say, oh, come on, stop putting me on. He's way younger than that.
Yeah. He likes it when they say 35.
Yeah, 35, maybe 45, somewhere there.
So we just had an amazing time. We pulled it together. I actually combined it with a book launch, you recall?
I do.
And then on Friday night, we invited friends that came all over. We had a friend from Chiang Mai, Thailand. We had people from Florence, Italy, from San Francisco. It was just really wonderful. And so we had about 100 friends together. We started at Cine Bistro.
Our fabulous, delightful dine while you have fun at the movies.
Oh, and it was wonderful. And I had Hollywood producers, which we'll talk about later,
right?
Put together a film for Joe. And it started with Charlie Chaplin's Circus that was the same year he's born, 1928.
Wow.
And then we had a friend of ours, who's a country western singer, Philip Claypool, whose number third hit song on the country charts was Circus, Leaving Town. So he sang. We had the movie, lots of touching speeches from friends. And then on Saturday, we converted our home into a circus. We had the pool cage was a circus tent. We had a stage over the spa. We had magic tricks and stilt walkers and clowns running around. And Pedro Ruiz from the Circus Conservatory brought out four of the high ceramic clowns that were around Sarasota. So it was just wonderful. And then on Sunday, we had our circus recovery brunch with lots of Bloody Marys. But it was a wonderful time, and it was just great to be with friends. It was just spectacular.
Oh, and Joe, what was your favorite part of the three-day party weekend?
My head is swirling just thinking about it, and there was no favorite. It was just being surrounded by friends and family that meant something to me. My birthday actually, in my own mind, was inconsequential. It's spending time with friends and family.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what keeps you young. You know, a great perspective on life and what matters. People matter, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And I think as far as age is concerned, if you're a cheese or wine, it's important. But for a human being, no.
We basically, both of us, we just live our emotional age.
That's right.
And it's just a number.
And I think every person out there, especially in our society in America, I can't speak for other countries, but we all have a different perception in our brain of how old we are. Mm-hmm. And our bodies may be 40 or 50 or 60 or 80 or 90 or 100, whatever it might be. But mentally, we're so much younger than that. I can remember my father-in-law when he was 86 saying, I'll never quite
come to grips with the fact that my body is 86 years old when mm-hmm. my brain thinks it's 40.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's so true.
Yes. I think one of Noam Jeromey, one of our producers, he calls him Benjamin Button.
He's going backwards and getting younger.
The problem is, I'm the one that's going to be changing the diapers.
we take care of our bodies. For instance, we worked out for over an hour this morning before we came on your show.
Yes, you're both very fit, very slim. Were you telling me Joe is a runner?
He's a runner. Now he's doing mostly fast walks, but mm-hmm. 3 or 4 miles, he's out there and doing his thing. And he stretches a lot more than I do. And he works on upper body strength. He's just amazing.
But and one of the one of the only people in Sarasota County, as far as I know, of this age, or even 10 years on, you know, the other side of this age, in their 70s, that does not have a cardiologist.
Yeah, right? Well, yeah, it never occurred to me because going to a doctor seemed to be sufficient if the doctor was able to resolve whatever issue I was dealing with. So I never had a problem with my heart, except I gave my heart to Sally.
Uh-huh.
But beyond that, I had no problems.
Hey, and that also keeps you young, keeping the love alive and having a happy marriage and just being each other's best friend and best companion and most enjoyable person to talk to on the planet. It keeps you young, keeps you happy.
Well, for almost 40 years together, we laugh every single day. Oh. I mean, sometimes he makes me angry. But then when I'm trying to be angry, he's cracking jokes. So it's kind of really hard to be angry when you're laughing, and it just throws the whole thing off.
Easier than ducking.
Easier than throwing things. And you know, that's another great thing, you know, to be able to communicate, but also to be able to deal with arguments or disagreements mm-hmm. in a way that ends up positive. Get through it and end up, you know, with a hug or a kiss and a walk away, let's talk about it when we cool off kind of thing.
And imagine he's my editor.
And he's your editor. Do you ever argue about content?
As a matter of fact, we have differences of opinion on the book from time to time, but we keep emotion out of it.
Good.
I think it's very, very important because it doesn't really, it's unproductive in terms of producing a creative book.
Yeah, and basically, my goal is to have the best book I can. So any advice I take, my skin is not that thin, but on certain occasions, but not when it comes to writing the book and having it edited.
You know, in the next segment, we're going to talk quite a bit about the books that Sally's written and Joe has edited and where they're headed. But I've got to ask you a question. You know, in film and television, when you're writing scripts, they have a phrase called killing your darlings. Because if it gets to be too long, your editor will say, okay, this has got to go, this has got to go, this has got to go. And they call it killing your darlings, pulling chunks mm-hmm. out that you just love so much. And you want to keep them forever because they're just your little works of art. How does that work with you writing a novel, which can mm-hmm. be 300 to 350 mm-hmm. pages? Mm-hmm. Have you had to kill off some of your favorite segments or shorten things down?
Absolutely.
Excuse me.
Yes.
No, it's... We have. I mean, sometimes it just gets too carried away that mm-hmm. it takes you in a different direction. I haven't had to really kill any of my major darlings, except when we went into the movie, which we're going to talk about. But aside the script, I had to save some of the people. But in terms of the books themselves, Joe really hasn't change the narrative. Mm-hmm. It's only how to make it stronger in terms of segues or see what's been really wonderful is that he is not a fiction reader.
So you really have fresh eyes.
So exactly. Yeah. And my motto is if Joe doesn't get it, the reader won't get it. So when he comes across with things that says this doesn't make sense, I just have to go back and figure out why and fix it.
I think I'm the perfect foil for Sally for that reason.
There's other reasons.
I'm looking for plausibility. So in my background, I've written a lot, but what I wrote was mostly business and very, very serious, not fictional, for the Harvard Business Review or the American Banker. Although I have read a lot of fiction, I'm not as easily persuaded by fiction as many people are. So I look for plausibility.
Mm-hmm. But you have to admit, in the last 10 years, you've fiction has kind of grown on you.
It has, yes. That's because I found this brilliant fiction writer.
Yes, and I've brilliant, beautiful.
I've become a fan.
And I think she's your biggest fan, so that works out really well. And we're going to have to take a break here shortly, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the explosive new Max Ford thriller called Climatized that is going to be made into a movie, as well as all the other things you've written and your backgrounds, where you came from. And for those of you who are out there listening, stay tuned. Don't go away. We're going to be right back, and you're going to love it. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You are still listening to WSRQ, and I'm still Jeannie Corcoran, your Sarasota County Film Commissioner. This program is called Close Up because we get a great close-up look at the people who visit us in all forms of industry, of entertainment, from print to movies and everything in between. And with me today, I have the amazing author, Sally Fernandez, and her amazing editor, Joe Fernandez, who also happens to be her husband. And we've been talking mostly about them and their good humor and their good relationship together and what it's like to be the editor for your wife and what it's like to have your husband critiquing your work and so forth. And before we get into the books themselves, how many books has Joe edited for you at this point?
He has edited 6 books.
Wow. 6 books. And look how happy you both still are together. That's amazing. Joe, you were saying something before when we were on break about not getting emotional about editing and not getting emotional when you're working together. Talk to me a little bit about that, because we have a lot of writers in Sarasota County that do novels, and I think your advice would be really worthwhile.
I can understand why a writer would become emotional about their own work, because to be creative requires a lot of effort and a lot of personal involvement. In my case, I can be objective only because I think my background in business for many years taught me to look at and read something in an objective manner, and to get out of the writing what I would consider to be the essence. Now, to give you an example, I've written a synopsis of Sally's books, which we use for marketing. I do it in 9 pages.
And she writes the book in 350, right?
350. So obviously, hers are a lot more readable than mine. Mine are rather dry and to the point.
Yes, but it's complimentary, because you don't want your editor to ever just sweet talk you and just say, "Oh, this is so wonderful, and I love it so much. You're going to be so great." You really want truth out of your editor, if no one else. And Sally, you were saying you have readers groups. Tell me a little bit about the people that read your books before they go to print.
Well, actually, to kind of catapult on that thought too, is that when I first started writing, it was actually 10 years ago. So I came out of business and wrote technical manuals and business proposals. But it was a challenge that came from none other than Joe Fernandez. And I was ranting about the politics. And so he challenged me to put it on paper. And that's when I wrote Brotherhood Beyond the Yard, and I ended up with a novel. So going to his judgment of the book, he never would have said, it's a great novel and you should publish it, if he thought that it wasn't a great novel and I should publish it, because he wouldn't want to put me out there and set me up for a fail. So it was his support that did that. But then I started, after he read it and edited it, I wanted to have objective points of view outside of us. And so I established a reading group, and it's really diverse. I have someone whose grammar, I won't mention names here, but grammar was horrible, but she picks up every single nuance in the book. I have someone else who's a grammarian to the nth degree. I have another person who actually worked on the peace accord with Henry Kissinger.
Amazing.
So I go, you know, I go the whole gamut. So I have 5 readers. I picked up one more this last time, or actually the last 2 books from NASA. So I go, you know, it's just been a great way to get objective points of view from different, and then I take all the information and dissect it and either incorporate it, ignore it, or it gives me other thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens with Joe, and he makes a comment or he says, you know, this doesn't make sense, or you might want to consider this. It goes me off to rethink, and I may end up with something totally different because it kind of changes the way I look at something. So it's really invaluable. It's another way to get a touch. And then my publisher runs it through another copyright edit, and it's just, you know, so. And then it gets published, and I find a typo, you know.
And you think, how did that happen?
Yeah.
I don't understand
it's
that.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing how you find, we don't discover the defects, nor do our readers, and then we send it to a copywriter, and they find little nuances that are missing.
Punctuation or spelling.
Exactly. Yeah. But you find that you read it the way you think it reads.
Right.
That's right. You put the words in your own mind. Yeah.
And I would think as an author and as an editor, when you do have readers, you want them engrossed in the story. It's kind of, you know, in the movie world, we always say, when you're watching a film, if you start noticing the furniture or the costumes or the way the cinematography is done, it may be great. All those elements may be great, but the movie has failed because it's lost you. It hasn't pulled you into its world and pulled you into its story.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the same thing with live theater. I did a lot of live theater when I was a kid. And, you know, if the audience that you're performing for live is looking at the set and they're going, wow, look at that. That set's really great. And boy, those props are awesome. You're doing something wrong as a performer. Mm-hmm. And I think that's true with writers. Your world that you're creating, whether it's fiction or nonfiction or documentary or drama or comedy, whatever it might be, you want to suck them into that world like a vortex, right?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because I agree, because when I write, I actually write kind of, it's reel to reel in my head. And that's how it unfolds. And when I first met with my publisher, he said, why don't you just write the screenplay and say 58,000 words?
That's right.
even as the editor, I mentioned to Sally in the first book, I was sitting editing, and I said, you know, this is really strange. All I can see is movie sets.
Right. It's a visual thing, right?
Yeah. It's absolutely incredible. Something else I want to mention is that my role as editor keeps fading. For instance, I use a lot less red ink today than I did in the first book.
Well, that means Sally's getting better, and so are you, because you are fine-tuning her. You're like tuning up a cello, and this beautiful music is flowing out, right?
Well, now I use a microscope.
No, it's a great analogy, because I do believe I'm a better writer, but I'm a better writer because of things I've learned from him through the process, and I can see it with each book as it progresses.
Right. I was reading a 4-book series on George Gordon, Lord Byron, and a fascinating story about Lord Byron. But the first book of poetry he put together, which he labored over and sweated over, they couldn't get it published, and he got a little short run of it published, and the critics just ripped him to shreds. And by the time he became renowned, he became acclaimed as the best poet that England had ever had, except perhaps for Shakespeare, and Shakespeare was really more a playwright than a poet. But it was interesting to see that his first book was a failure, just a terrible failure. Maybe not because of the content, maybe because of the critics, but still, you hope you grow. You hope you improve.
Well, I'm kind of, I call it my Grissom touch. So with the book becoming a movie, maybe they'll go back to the first book and say, wow.
Right, right. Exactly right. And the thing that we've always strived for in this industry, that you love to hear the words, what else have you got? Yeah. This is great. I really liked it. What else have you got?
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I'm just going to skip over a couple of books here because I want to talk about Climatized.
Okay.
This book, it's just awesome. I read it, and it is a provocative political thriller. And when you read that on the jacket, you think, oh, well, what does provocative political thriller mean? And then you get into the book, and it was hard to go to sleep at night. It was hard to go to bed. And my husband would say, would you put the book down and go to sleep? You have to get up and go to work in the morning. Great book. And you sent this, or who sent the book to the the producers? Was it your publisher that just thought it was something special and he wanted Hollywood to take a look?
It was David Dunham. And he actually said it's a long shot. So he gave it to Noam Dromi, who is the one of the screenwriters and producers of Dolphin Tale.
Which we love. Dolphin Tale is, you know, a Florida champion.
And so very fortunate because he read the book. He loved the Max Four, the strong character.
And Max is a woman, by the way.
Yes.
And she's a young woman. And she may turn out to be a woman of color, young woman of color, or mixed race. What some of the actors you're looking at are pretty fabulous.
Exactly. Yeah. And they are. So Climatize, it was a book I put together. David loved it. He gave it to Noam Dromi. Noam then passed it on to his friend, Evan Green, who's the chief marketing officer at the Grammys.
Very creative and very successful and knows how the industry works.
Exactly. Right. So these two, I mean, they're off and running. So it's now going to be the Max Ford movie. They're going to fashion her after kind of the next Jason Bourne female version. And they have the second book will be the second, the sequel. Mm-hmm. And the third will be something I'm coming up with.
As we speak. It'll be a trilogy. To be continued.
Exactly. Right? And they're looking at it as a franchise. So it will be three films. And the best part is that they're going to try to make every attempt to do as much of the movies in Sarasota.
Yay!
As much as possible.
Oh, and we'd love to hear that. As you can imagine, that is just music to a film commissioner's ears. But it's also music to my ears because I grew up in Sarasota. I love Sarasota. Sarasota County is, you know, many, many wonderful things that the rest of the world doesn't know about. And maybe some people hope they don't get to know about it because then they all move here. But I love Sarasota. And I love what the book is going to do for that. And, you know, we've got to go to another break. Golly, the time's flying. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're talking to Sally and Joe Fernandez. We're talking about, right now, we're talking about her novel, Climatized, the Max Ford thriller series, and that it's going to be made into a trilogy. Three movies, that's the plan. And we were talking offline about when you went to Hollywood. Joe, start that story back again about when you went to Hollywood and how this...
It was really a marvelous experience to meet directly with the writers, and they are producers of the films. And we are partners in an LLC. And that was my first experience with that kind of a session. And we talked about the script. And we Sally and I had read the script. And initially, we questioned the fact that they made some changes. And they made it a bit more dynamic. We had no objection to that. But in our presence... they were able to take some of the changes that Sally had proposed, for instance, to insert, again, resurrecting characters that they had killed off in the script, and they were incorporated the characters in our presence and said, well, we'll incorporate that in the script, but they were able to relate to us how they were going to do it.
Yeah, and Sally didn't mind having her characters dead ones brought back, fresh ones killed off. How does that feel?
Well, this is a really interesting process because what happens is I went in knowing that the movie would be different than the book. Mm-hmm. And I accepted that. And because you have to take 390 pages and you have to move it into 90 minutes and you have to make it cinematic. Right. And so I knew that there would be changes, and we all had agreement that they would not be identical twins, they'll be kissing cousins.
I like that.
And I'm very happy that they did keep with the narrative, and that was what was most important to me. But they were killing off a few people, and I finally said, you know, Max is supposed to be a superstar, she's got to save someone. So they killed off Antonio Maielli, but Antonio Maielli is now back alive.
Hey, that's the world of showbiz.
So, but that's what's been very interesting. And then they ended the script, the ending was amazing, and they're coming up with things that I hadn't thought of. And what was interesting for me is that I had already written the second book. And so I went back and I tried to just elevate Max's role a little bit more, make a little bit of subtle changes. so that anybody who read Climatized would not be totally thrown off if they had seen the movie and then read Beekeeper's Secret, the next one. So it's challenging. And now I'm getting ready to do the third one, and I've got to kind of step it up. And we're actually going to work together and talk about, because they have this vision of where Max is going with the consortium and all the other things going on. So it's an interesting process when I've been left alone to write the story, but now all of a sudden I'm more in a collaboration mode. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting journey.
Well, and it's good that you find it interesting and that you are flexible, because sometimes authors, and I'll be speaking to, and I generally speak within the course of the year a couple times, to writers groups and to novel writers groups and to screenwriters groups, and share with them what I see going on in the industries that they're so eager to be a part of. And it's always nice to get from the horse's mouth, although you're far too pretty to be referred to as a horse, but to get directly from the mouth of the person who's working in the business and their editors and their producers and their collaborators and so forth. The facts about, it's not, oh, here's my precious book and it's so perfect, don't change a word. It's about being flexible and seeing how to adapt one genre to another and yet keep the integrity of your story.
Exactly. And that's what's most important to me. So if they change the characters, move them around, make them a little bit different than I anticipated or I wrote about, it's more about getting the message. I mean, the reason I write is to get a message out. So I write political thrillers. I take something contemporary. I want the reader to have fun, but I want them to learn something.
Sure.
At the end of the game, at the end of the story, I'd like them to say, what if? Is it plausible? Could it happen? Did it happen? And so as long as they're getting that message out in the movie, that's all that's important to me.
That's true. I used to do a lot of children's television. We had what was called infotainment, which is where you're using entertainment to pass information along. And we had edutainment, so where you're educating children. And a novel and adult forms of media are exactly the same thing. Maybe adults don't realize it so much, but they are being not only informed while they're being entertained, but they're also being educated while they're being entertained.
What's interesting about Climatize is I've talked to the Reading Council, Sarasota Reading Council, and they want to get it into the curriculum in high school because they think it's a great way to create the conversation and a little bit of discord, just to be able to dissect it and so forth. So.
Get the dialogue
critical
going.
Thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Many years ago, my husband was telling me when he went to school in Sarasota, they had a book and it was called A Last Babylon. And it was written by a Florida writer, and it was about what would happen if nuclear war ensued, and because we're right near MacDill Air Force Base, what would happen if it was a strike, and what would the downwinders get, and what would the upwinders get? But it's this amazing human story about how this little small Florida community pulls together to survive, and what they need most of all. And it turns out what they need most of all are things you sometimes don't think about. Water, of course, and salt. You need salt to cure meat or the meat will spoil. I mean, all kinds of interesting things written in fiction, but it became such a informative yet fascinating and spellbinding kind of book that they put it in the schools as required reading. So Climatize could be the next one.
That would be great.
And even though I think of you now as our Sarasota treasures, that you're here and you're Sarasota people and because you have a home here and so forth, you travel a lot. And what, do you spend half the year in Italy? Part of the year?
We.
Yeah, for 17 and a half years, we spent 6 or more months in Italy. And our favorite city is Florence, Italy, although we traveled throughout Europe. We've traveled significantly beyond Italy. For instance, I've been in 84 countries.
Wow.
And Sally and I have done a number of treks, high mountain treks. We've been in Antarctica. But the life in Italy is a contrast from life in Sarasota.
I'll bet.
Personally, we enjoy the contrast because it allows us to appreciate to a greater extent our life here in Sarasota and the beauty and the conveniences that Americans have.
True. I think often that's just taken for granted. And a lot of that kind of global mentality mm-hmm. I see in Climatized. I mean, mm-hmm. it just pops off the page mm-hmm. because you've got this worldview. You exactly. have sort of a global worldview. Mm-hmm. It's not just a single issue book that is focused on one point.
Exactly.
It's a big picture.
It is. And I was kind of like, oh, on the question because this, we just gave up the house, the car, and Italy.
Oh, golly. So and you're taking a new step.
Well, it's going to be very important for us to focus on the film, focus on the next book. We need to be in the U.S. Mm. We need to be in Sarasota. We need to be in Hollywood. So having said that, I'm still taking him back to Florence for a couple of months this year. But this time I get room service.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You don't have to cook or clean.
No.
Never.
No.
I don't have as much a garden to grow my fabulous tomatoes in Italy. But the lifestyle there is different from the United States. For instance, if the price of gasoline goes up 25 cents, it makes the headlines here in the USA. In Italy, they've been paying $8 a gallon.
Right.
It's a subject they never discuss.
But the wine's cheaper.
If only you could pour the wine in the gas tank.
Which is more important. It keeps you happy. It's very interesting that when you talk to them about any major international problems, for instance, Italy has been insolvent now for 75 years, they just say, hey, what do you want to do? Hey, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Have more wine. That's it. Yeah.
Nobody worries.
Pass the vino. Hey, give me that Chianti over here. I don't want to talk about the world.
But it's great. We've lived everywhere. We've lived in Hong Kong. We've lived East Coast, West Coast. So it's great. We do have that exposure, and it does, you know, and it gives me a different perspective on all of my books in terms of how I look at it.
Yes, I think it's really enriched both of us.
Yeah.
There's so many people who travel today. Because people are traveling more frequently than they used to, don't take away what we consider to be important, and that is the culture, mm-hmm, the people, mm-hmm. All they can talk about, and this is generalization, it's not everybody, obviously, is sightseeing and not taking into account what's behind what they look at. Mm-hmm. And Sally and I have been very fortunate because we've actually been exposed to the cultures.
And the people.
And the people.
Right. Oh, our going away party, when we left our last party at our home, our friends were, you know, shop owners, restaurant owners, you know, Inateca owners. It's a great exposure, but it does help in my writing.
Yes, real people doing real things. We're going to have to take another break. Oh, my goodness. And then we'll be back for our last segment. We're going to wrap this up. Although I don't want it to end. Stay with us. Learn more. We'll be right back.
I'm not going anywhere without you.
Perhaps I can tempt you with a little champagne.
I think we know the rest of the story.
And I was still ecstatic over everything.
Hey.
Where's what's her name?
Are you in love with her?
Welcome back. This is the last segment of WSRQ's Close Up, the voice of Sarasota Manatee. I'm Jeannie Corcoran, your Sarasota County Film Commissioner, with my good friends and amazing people and talented individuals, Sally and Joe Fernandez, talking about the book Climatized, in the Max Ford thriller series, how it's going to be made into a 3-movie trilogy, and many other things. We're talking about the world at large and how your global experiences, Sally and Joe, have so affected your writing, which is one of the strongest points in your book. It's got that great world view. Sally, let me start with you this time. Tell me a little bit about some of your travels, because they've influenced what you do, and you're not this glamorous, let's just go look at and sightsee kind of person. Tell me a little bit about that.
Joe got me into trekking. I mean, we've done Nepal. Well, he's done several in Nepal. I've done Bhutan. I actually took back 6 women with me on another one we called the testosterone-free trek. We've done, Joe and I have done Tibet, and we've done Mongolia.
Wow.
So we've done where we've, in the tent, we've climbed, you know, altitudes up to 20,000 feet. We're freezing cold. We're exhausted. We wake up the next morning and we can't wait to get started. It's so exciting.
So you wake up in a tent.
Wake up in a tent, and you're excited to get going for the next day. So it's, but you're so exposed to the cultures. I mean, you're not out there looking at the Eiffel Tower. You're looking at the porters and the Sherpas, and you're, you know, communicating with them and finding out about their lifestyle. And it's just amazing. I mean, walking through villages in Tibet and walking freezing to death in Mongolia. Mongolia is like, you know, when climatize is great and people say, oh, the climate changes. And yes, in Mongolia, you get four seasons in one day.
Wow.
So it's been a great exposure. And Joe's been the one to expose me to all of that. So we've had a fascinating life. I know how to get dirty. I know how to be the only woman that's got to find a bush. I've been through it all. I've seen it all. It's been rough. It's been tiring. It's been exhausting, and it's been exhilarating. And that has just opened my mind to the world and how I, you know, it's affected obviously my writing. But it's just been an amazing life. An amazing
Truly.
Life. The only thing, Joe, I mean, he had his 90th birthday, and he's been such a good supporter. We've given up a lot of this kind of adventure travel, trying to fit it in with our life in Italy, our life in Sarasota, and writing has been difficult. And the one regret he has is I never let him get his license for dog sledding in Greenland.
Oh, it's not too late. It's not too late.
I haven't given up yet, by the way.
We have an advisor on my film commission council, Wendy Williams, and Wendy is a big UPM for major feature films around the world. And she ends up, you know, in Iceland, and she ends up in Greenland, and she ends up in, you know, plateaus in the desert. And after a while, she just wants to come home and go to her house on the beach and rest in the sunshine. And we just need to get Wendy involved in this and a few of our other great people from Sarasota. And your team that you've been putting together, I've met mm-hmm. some of them, the writers, a couple of the producers, and it's growing. And you haven't had a chance yet to go to the Ringling sound stages and studio facilities yet?
No, we have not. And I'm hoping that Noam and Evan will have an opportunity to get back mm-hmm. here. We'll be seeing them in Hollywood actually in a couple of weeks.
Great.
And we're going to be meeting some other people and hopefully some of the cast that they're putting together, which is pretty exciting.
It is exciting. We want to bring back some of the stars to Sarasota that like Sarasota already.
Yes, which and is maybe we'll cool. get some of the stars that live in Sarasota.
Yes, even better. Some of the ones that quietly have homes here, and many people don't even know that
we're
we
not going to mention them.
No, we're
name.
Not going to mention them by name. Not at all. With the film festival having been here, I had a chance to talk to some of the filmmakers, because that's why I go. I go to show my support for the filmmakers, mm-hmm. not to just enjoy movies. And one of the films, the opening night film, for example, by Eric Stoltz and his producer, it was just charming, and it was funny, and it was quirky, and it had a lot of personality to it. And I love to see people like that exposed to what Sarasota mm-hmm. has to offer, because they're so surprised. Were you surprised when you first started coming to Sarasota to discover the arts, the culture, and everything?
We were surprised, and then we had a meeting recently where we learned about all these other people, and it was just blew us away in terms of the amount of talent, a talent in all realms of the filmmaking business.
Right.
And so it takes us back to the Ringling, that we definitely want to be, you know, looking at their studio, and that was one of the big draws for both Noam and Evan as well.
Right, and I'm so excited about that as well. And also our smaller studios, we have a lot mm-hmm. of amazing mm-hmm. talent here people don't even realize. Animators, mm-hmm. illustrators, mm-hmm. writers that do everything from graphic novels to comics. Mm-hmm. In fact, the movie that was just out, Black Panther, mm-hmm. that character of Black Panther was mm-hmm. completely recreated and restyled for Marvel by one of our area artists and graphic designers and comic book illustrators. It's mm-hmm. so much talent here.
Mm-hmm. It is amazing. And I think we were at a luncheon with Michael Lewis and Larry Thompson at the Ringling, the president of the Ringling. He had mentioned that 17 alumni had worked on Coco that
right.
just received the award. Mm. So it just is fascinating.
It is fascinating. Even movies like The Greatest Showman, the mm-hmm. one that was out most mm-hmm. recently, although it didn't shoot here because it was mostly done on sound stages and created backgrounds, you know, mm-hmm. because of the vintage settings, they talked to our office on and off for years. We talked to them about circus resources and gave them names and phone numbers of people and families mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. looking for real circus memorabilia and really vintage things having to do with the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that adds so much authenticity to a film. Even if they never use it, they incorporate it into what they're doing, the Water for Elephants, the book, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. most of that book was researched here.
Oh,
and then when they decided to make it into a movie, we were trying to help them and have them come shoot here. Mm-hmm. But again, mm-hmm. it was a vintage period piece, so most of it was created mm-hmm. in CGI. So, mm-hmm. But climatized. We're going to make as much of that happen here as
Absolutely.
We can and make it real. And, you know, anything we don't have here, we can do it on green screen at Ringling College, right? We can invent mountains and
exactly.
high rises.
And Max can sit in a Washington townhouse
That's
in
right.
Ringling.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like it. And so you're going to get this rolling. You're going to be in Los Angeles a lot, in Hollywood. You're going to be home here in Sarasota writing, working on book three. And where will you get your respite? Where will you get your relaxation and your unwinding, since you're not going to go to Italy and you're not going to go trekking in the mountains? What will help you unwind?
A glass of wine with my husband every night.
There you go.
Which is our quiet time at the end of the day. We never have any wine while we're working, and we work sometimes in the late hours. Mm-hmm. Then we sit at the end of the day, and we review what we've been working on, and come to a conclusion and as to where we go next.
It's great,
And we also solve world problems at the same time because we're both political junkies.
There you go. Yeah. Well, this is the time for it.
Well, Joe and I are pretty hardcore, and coming out of corporate life, you'd think we have our offices next to each other. We hardly ever talk unless we have to have a meeting. And then at the end of the day, it's like getting together and saying, what did you do today? What did you discuss? So we're planning out our calendar.
That's great. It keeps everything fresh and it keeps everything, vibrant. And it also keeps, keeps the love alive to not spend too much time together or too much time apart.
Find that balance.
On the other hand, we're hardwired because of our corporate life, our former corporate life. And on the weekend, we still consider the weekend special. And when we're working the weekend, we consider it more of a sacrifice than Monday to Friday. There's no hope for us.
Yeah, my husband, who retired, he says, every day is Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I tell him, would you stop saying that? It's really ticking me off.
But the other respite is actually when I'm in my office just writing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, I'm missing it now. Now I'm doing, getting ready for the film, we're traveling, we've got all these things going on, and it's like, can't I just be in my office alone writing a book?
Can't I go into my sanctuary,
my cave.
Or they call it now a man cave and a she shed. I don't want to be put out in a shed.
Our offices are next to each other. Of course, we call our upstairs as the executive headquarters, and he gets the corner office, but it's very light and open, and you go into mine, it's like dark and zen. And
it's very meditative, where you can really get into the heads and the world of the people you're writing about.
I actually have a meditation statue sitting there, so I look at it periodically to remind me to breathe and calm down, but I don't have any time to look at it.
If you remember to look at it, if you can slow down long enough to look at
it. Exactly.
Yeah. So you have a working title for your third book, or are you not talking about that yet?
I have several ideas for the third book, and I'm not quite sure which way to go. And the problem is I like to take something that's very contemporary. The way things are moving so fast. If I do Russian collusion, it will be gone by the time I actually finish the book.
Right.
So it's like, what is the next real hot button? The second book was called The Beekeeper's Secret, and it's tackling alternative medicine versus big pharma. And
That's certainly a topical issue.
Yeah, and so I do have some others. I'm just not quite sure which way to go. And there's so much going on now we're talking about the next book becoming the next film. And so I got a little breather to kind of work on it.
Well, I'm sure it's all going to turn out if it all turns out as fabulously well as Climatized, because I haven't read Beekeepers yet, but I'm going to be reading The Beekeeper's Secret soon when I get over Climatized, actually. When I stop being Climatized. And I'm sure it's going to be every bit as great as this one. And then I'll look forward to the third one. And we've run out of time. But I can't thank you both enough for being here. Joe, thank you. Sally, thank you. Everybody out there listening, read Climatized. And Sarasota County, get behind this movie project, because it's going to be special and put us even more on the map. Sally, Joe, thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
It's been great.
And thank all of you for listening. And we'll talk again soon.